Good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I have missed you terribly. We haven't been together since about May 5th, so a little over a month, but I think it's important for us to take breaks. This podcast has been a wonderful outlet for me and very cathartic at times where I felt angry and upset and frustrated, where I dealt with loss and grief, excitement, joy, confusion, so many different emotions I've been able to kind of work through as a result of this podcast and with your help, just being a listening ear and then in return responding to me, sending me messages telling me how helpful a particular episode was, how you related. It's all been great, but I was feeling tremendously overwhelmed. The last several podcasts that I had done had heavily focused on the pandemic, responses to the pandemic, the lack of empathy that I was seeing in the world for one another, and just the overall frustration of people not taking the COVID-19 crisis seriously. And I kind of landed, like most of us have landed, on the fact that because African-American people and other brown people were disproportionately affected, that the greater world did not care enough about our survival and our health to stop, wait, and pause. You know, the fact that because of many of our pre-existing medical conditions as a result of lack of access, lack of education, put us at a grave disadvantage of fighting and combating the disease, and put us at a very large advantage of contracting it and possibly passing it on to others. And I was just frustrated. And I talked a lot about frustration, and everything seemed a bit redundant. And so I needed to press pause for my own sanity. And then in the midst of the pandemic and dealing with that and trying to navigate the fallout, because there is fallout, I'm fortunate where I still work and I still get paid. A lot of members in my family are fortunate where they are still able to work and they're still getting paid. A lot of my close friends are fortunate. But there are a lot of people that are, you know, only separated by that 6 degrees, that I know someone who knows someone who knows someone, that are dealing with things in a very different way, who have lost people or who had lost people, who had themselves suffered and were combating COVID-19, whose jobs were in jeopardy, which means their livelihood was in jeopardy, their mortgages, their car loans, their student loans. There's so much going on. And I really just needed to press pause and decompress. I needed to get to a place where I was centered. I needed to get to a place where I wasn't going to be rambling about things and really just having thoughtful conversation. And so I took a break. And I know that you can appreciate the importance of needing a break. And I know, you know, people have definitely reached out. Is everything okay? What's going on with the next podcast? And so that lets me know that it's important for me to continue to press on and to get my shit together so that I can be here with you guys, because it's important to me. I do want to talk today about being sick and tired. Another reason why I didn't come back as quickly as I could have to address some of the issues that are going on in the midst of COVID-19 was I needed to get my thoughts together. I needed to check my head and my heart. I needed to figure out where I stood in the midst of all of this before I began to communicate with the larger community, my Popping Off with Phil family, about how I was feeling. So you all have probably been watching the news and have probably found a way to fit in to the landscape of kind of what's going on in the world. But in the midst of a world pandemic, that's challenging our health, we as African Americans still have to fight for our lives in a world that wasn't created for us to survive or thrive. And that is dealing with the brutality of our white counterparts. Three instances that I'll talk about today: Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, which is one that went completely off the radar, and it wasn't until the death of George Floyd that her death was really illuminated, as well as a few other individuals who I don't know by name that are a member of the trans community, and I do apologize for that, but Black trans women who have also been hurt, who've been killed as a result of just this overarching brutality against Black people. George Floyd is more or less the straw that broke the camel's back. And it has definitely led our community to a place where we motherfucking tied. And as a result of that, protest started. So I think that it's also important, and I've said this before, for us to be clear and decisive when we use language and what that language means. But I'll go back. I'll start with the death of Ahmaud, and it is maddening that as an African American, I live in a world where my white counterpart feels justified, feels entitled to question who I am, what I am, how I am, how I came to be, where I am and where I'm going. And they feel like that's okay. And because we live in a world that never chides or chastises them about that not being okay, they continue to operate in that vein unchecked. And I can't check them. You know, the world has to check them. Someone else, a balance, a legal balance, a judicial balance has to check them to let them know that that's inappropriate. Ahmaud was running through a neighborhood that, whether or not it was his neighborhood or not, it doesn't matter. He was running. And a white man and his son loaded guns, got in a vehicle, and began to follow him. And for whatever reason, they were under the impression that it is okay for them to not only follow him, but to corner him and stop and question him, all because they believed he fit a profile. And too often, we as African Americans are challenged because we fit a profile. And most of the time, the profile is just Black and male. Has nothing to do with height, has nothing to do with weight. Just that you're Black and you're male, and you're in a place that I don't feel you should be. You're not a neighbor. You're not somebody I've seen around here. And so since there's things going on in my community and you're the outlier, I have the right to challenge you, as opposed to calling authorities and saying, hey, somebody's running around the neighborhood. They look suspicious. And there's been a rash of things going on in our neighborhood. And I think that this person might fit that profile. Can somebody come take, you know, check this out? No, you take it upon yourself to search, find and corner a person, and then be somewhat clutch pearled when they don't respond the way that you feel that they should, because you feel entitled to question them. My opinion is that they got in that vehicle with every intent on killing this man. And that's what happened in broad daylight. And the legal and judicial balances that should be in place to make sure that those types of things don't happen did not occur until pressure was put upon people to make a difference. And that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. Even when murder happens in the form of self-defense, a person is still typically taken into custody. They're still questioned. And there's a possibility a person can stand trial because it is still murder until we've gotten an opportunity to flush out what happened and why it happened. But that doesn't happen when our lives are the casualty. It doesn't happen when our communities are part of the casualty. We are never given the benefit of the doubt. No one is ever advocating for us. And that's frustrating. And I just think about all of the situations, all of the scenarios that we're unaware of, that we don't know because we didn't have access to body cameras and social media before, you know? So think about all of the Black bodies and all of the scenarios and situations that Black people have endured, may have or may not have survived, that went unrecorded, undocumented, because we didn't have access to social media. Now, I will tell you this. Social media is a double-edged sword in terms of what it does. I did not watch the video of Ahmaud being killed because I didn't deem it to be necessary. I didn't need that bit of evidence in order to be infuriated. I didn't need that visual in order to feel empathy and sympathy for his family and his friends and his loved ones. But without that video, without that context, things probably would not have been done on his behalf. And that's unfortunate that we live in that particular world. With Breonna Taylor, a young woman who was in her home and killed. And I read a bit of what happened. 20 rounds fired into her home, 8 of them, which she caught. A young woman who would have celebrated her 27th birthday on June 5th, who did not get that opportunity. All because some police officers who were trying to track down some drug activity entered her home unannounced. And as a result of that, her boyfriend, who was a registered gun owner, fired at them, which antagonized, apparently, them to fire into the home repeatedly, you know? But let's be clear. Black folks don't just start shooting at cops just because, you know? So the whole concept that they announced themselves and then he just went on shooting is ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. He felt that the home was being invaded. He was protecting himself. He was protecting his girlfriend. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to combat the fire from 3-4 police officers, none of which have been arrested. And today is June 9th. And this happened in early March, but in the height of in Louisville, Kentucky, in the height of what's been going on with the pandemic. So it got swept under the rug some way. They still haven't been arrested. They still haven't been charged. They've been reassigned, administratively reassigned. How? How does a mistake like that happen? How does someone enter someone's house with a proper warrant, unannounced? You know, it's a situation where there's always a justification for why we're killed. There's always an explanation. there's always an understanding. And it always shifts the accountability of our lives back on us. We're always the reason why we end up dead. We're always the reason why we end up shot. We're always the reason why we end up arrested. We're always the reason why we end up in bad situations. No one ever takes responsibility for what happens preemptively to put us in those situations. And then no one is held accountable once we realize, no one's held responsible once we realize the actions that were taken were excessive, were uncalled for, were unorthodox, were illegal. With George Floyd in the Minneapolis area, it was alleged that he paid with a counterfeit $20 bill, which my understanding, they've realized that it is not it wasn't a counterfeit bill. It was actually a real bill. A police officer whom he had a relationship with, someone that he apparently worked with in another setting, excessively took him down and then put his knee on his neck and held it there for 8 minutes and 46 seconds till he pretty much cut off the air from the man's brain and he died in the middle of the street in broad daylight. The murderer, the cop, had accomplices, three other cops. And the Minneapolis Police Department's inability to properly address this issue led to an uprising, led to protest, which turned into rebellion, which turned into riots in Minneapolis, which has created this domino effect around the country of protest that have turned into rebellions, that have turned into riots. I've seen some of the most callous things presented on social media from people who don't look like me, who don't want to accept responsibility and be held accountable for their actions, but again, want to make it seem as if I, as a Black man, or you as Black women and men, are responsible for the things that happen to us that end up with our lives being snuffed out. And one person said, well, if he said that he can't breathe, obviously he can breathe. There have been countless white people who have done these George Floyd challenges where they're putting their knee on the neck of another white man or woman and laughing and joking as if it's funny. And then the question is, why do we feel everything is racially motivated? Why do we feel everything comes down to Black or white? And as if it's not enough to fight with white folks about how ridiculous that connotation is, we also have to fight with people who look like us. People who want to argue, well, Black on Black crime happens and niggas kill niggas all the time. It's not the same thing. And it's ridiculous that people resort to that way of thinking and expressing that thought when we are literally saying that the very people who are sworn in to protect all, to serve all, are the people who are killing us, and they're doing it constantly and without recourse or repercussion. And as a result of there being no repercussions and no consequences, they continue to do it because they know they can get away with it. That's what we're saying. And people are not, there's a disconnect. I don't know why people don't understand that a person shouldn't be fearful when they encounter law enforcement, when they know they haven't done anything wrong. But I, as a black person, always have to justify everything that I do. Whereas as a white person, what you do seems to be dependent. It's always cause and effect for you. You know, it's always cause and effect for white person. Because this black person did this, this white person did this. And as a result, the black person is dead. But had the black person not have done this, this wouldn't have been their situation. No. No, that's ass backwards. And people are tired. And the reality is that everything that we have done as a race of people to say to those individuals in power, to say to law enforcement, to say to local and state government, to state a federal government, that this shit is, we're tired and it's whack, is met with some level of opposition. And it's met with opposition because we're basically saying that it's bullshit and you're wrong and you need to take responsibility for what you're doing. And nobody wants to do that. I can't kneel because that's disrespectful to the flag and cost me my job. Colin Kaepernick. Cost him his livelihood because he was frustrated with what was going on in the world. And he felt that that was the best way to peacefully show that he was frustrated. But to the world, that's disrespectful. To white folks, that's disrespectful. To some niggas, that's disrespectful. And because of that, his livelihood was challenged. Can't tear shit up because, well, you know, I tear shit up. Now I'm breaking other laws and I'm tearing my own community up. And so what good does that do? You know, all Minneapolis had to do to respond to the unrest was arrest the cop who murdered George Floyd and his three accomplices that stood by and watched him murder George Floyd. And a lot of what happened in Minneapolis would not have happened. But I think it's necessary. And I've read a lot of things and saw a lot of stuff about rioting and the whole nine yards. Let's be clear. They started off as protest. Protest rose to rebellion. People were inserted to instigate riots and carnage. And that's what happened. Listen, let's be clear. We've always known that protest attract different types of people. People who are there for the sole purpose of being heard. People who are there to take advantage of a situation. People there to cause unrest. We know this. We know that this is going to be a part of it. Do I feel any empathy towards a business ran by an African American that was a casualty of a protest that turned into a rebellion, that turned into a riot? Abso-fucking-lutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. I hate to see it. I know how difficult it is as an African American to be a business owner. Because the cards are stacked against us. So to achieve that goal of becoming your own boss, of being an entrepreneur, and have that stripped from you as a result of things that's going on, I hate it. You're a casualty of war. I hate it. Do I pray that you have the proper insurance to replace what you lost? Absolutely. Do I pray that you're in a position where you can afford your deductible? Absolutely. Am I willing as an African-American man to make the sacrifice to contribute to a fund if you find yourself in a situation where you are short? Absolutely. But you're a casualty of war. And as unfortunate as it is, it is. People spent so much time talking about businesses being destroyed and not about the lives that were destroyed and not about the lives that were destroyed in the midst of the businesses being destroyed, that it was infuriating. I don't give a fuck about a Target. I don't care about a Target. A Target in my community is not representative of a business that cares about my community. Let's be clear. Let's be clear. Target is a corporation, a very large one. And a Target in the city of Minneapolis is probably is not as nearly convenient as people might think in terms of, yes, it's accessible because it's there, but is it affordable? Why are we focusing so much attention on the fact that a Target was fucking destroyed and not the fact that lives were destroyed, that families were destroyed, that people were unjustly using their authority as officers to commit murder and to be accomplices to murder? That should have been more maddening than the fuck the Target was destroyed. There's a man who lost his business, an African-American man who lost his business. He's a firefighter. He was devastated. He was frustrated. But in his appeal to people, there wasn't a lack of understanding of why things happened. Was he frustrated that things happened? Yes. But people in that community rushed to his aid to make sure he had what he needed. And the GoFundMe account that a friend sent me to help, where he was only looking to amass maybe $100,000, I guess, for the purpose of trying to fulfill, you know, pay his deductible, whatever the case is, for the insurance claim. He had $250,000 by the time I looked at it. I think $500,000 by the time I looked at it. He's going to be okay. And then some. So there are people looking out for Black businesses that were affected, but the outrage behind businesses suffering and not people suffering is beyond me. It's beyond me. There have been countless protests across the nation and the world in support of Black Lives Matter. And let's be clear, because this is also maddening. Black Lives Matter and the movement in no way insinuates, suggests, or states that other lives don't matter. The problem is that all other lives seem to matter more than ours, which is the whole reason why we have a movement. It's the whole reason why we've done anything, established anything in our lives, because we were disenfranchised. Why do you think we have historically Black colleges and universities? Why do you think we have Black magazines? Why do you think we have Black award shows? Why do you think we have a Black entertainment television network? Why do you think we have Black affinity groups like fraternities and sororities? Because for so long we were out, we were isolated, we were kept out of all of these places. So we had to create spaces and places for ourselves to thrive, to survive, to get what it is that we needed. And somewhere along the line, we've lost touch with that. Let me tell you this. I don't know how other people feel about this. If I see one more white man shimmy across my screen and swing a cane representing Kappa Alpha Psi, I am going to scream at the top of my fucking lungs. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It frustrates me that Black folk feel obligated to be inclusive when we are constantly put in situations where we're excluded. And the celebration of some white man shrugging his shoulders down to the ground blows me. It blows me. White folks coming to Black institutions and getting multicultural scholarships blows me. It does. And time after time, we see those people that we invite into our spaces are premier spaces, spaces we created for us. We invite other people in and they find ways to fucking destroy it. It bothers me that we feel that we need to be so inclusive. It bothers me that Justin Timberlake and Robin Thicke, though they both write music that I enjoy, that we feel obligated to give them a fucking NAACP Image Award or a nomination. It bothers me. It frustrates me. And it further frustrates me that I have to continue to justify why my life matters and argue with people who say all lives matter. Fuck all lives. Because you don't give a shit about ours. So how can you say all lives matter in response to a movement that's telling you that our lives obviously don't matter? It's bullshit. And it doesn't require you to be responsible or take or accountable for the damage and carnage that you do on a race of people. That we're unwilling to look at our systems. You know, they say that, you know, the eyes of justice are blind. Yeah. When it comes to it's blind when it comes to properly dealing with the crimes of white folks, and blind when it comes to adequately allowing black folks to get a fair shake. That's when she blind. Any other time, the bitch seems like she can see to me. You know what I'm saying? White folks do shit and don't get convicted. Black folks do lesser shit and get double the time. So yeah, just the bitch is blind. Somebody needs to open her eyes. Somebody needs to remove the blindfold because it's one-sided. It's faulty. Is the bitch peeking from up under him or something like that to see what's going on? It's not right. It's rigged. It's not fair. And it's just frustrating. It's frustrating. So I'm one of the people who says burn every fucking thing to the ground. Because everything else that we've done doesn't register. Peaceful protests don't register. Not being a criminal mind doesn't register. Going to college doesn't register. Being a productive contributor to society in terms of voting and paying your taxes doesn't register. Avoiding conflict doesn't register. Trying to stay in all black communities doesn't register. Anything that we try to do to progress, to move forward, create some type of conflict. We don't belong here. We don't deserve this. We don't need this. This ain't for us. We shouldn't want these things. We should be happy with what the fuck we get. And so we've done everything that we could. We've tried to do everything the right way and it's ignored. We're running out of cheeks to turn. We're running out of forgiveness to give. We're running out of patience. And so the result of that is protest that leads to rebellion, that leads to riot. Hope you're listening. So all of these things were going on. All of these things were in my head, and I could not adequately find a way to express it. And so I paused and took a break. But these are the things that I've been thinking. These are the conversations and the arguments that I've had. Well, not really conversations or arguments. Conversations I've had, definitely. Arguments, not really. But these are the things that I've been posting on social media. Like, hey, we don't want to be at this juncture in life. We've been pushed. We've been forced. Our back is against the wall. And when you push somebody into a corner, at some point they swing. These are the swings. You don't want the swings. Let's come to the table and make some changes. But let's be clear. There's nothing else that I can do as a black man. There's nothing else that we can do as a community of black folks to make any difference. White folks have to start making changes. white folks have to start making adjustments. It is what it is. Those are the people. And it's not our responsibility to steward them into education. It's not our responsibility to say, here, read this book. Here, watch this pod, this podcast, or this Zoom episode. Here, watch this series on how to be less of a racist motherfucker. It's not our responsibility to do that. It's theirs. They know this shit is wrong. They know this shit is fixed. They know this shit is rigged. And that's why I am for every person who says something damning, who does something damning that's recorded. I'm for every one of them that loses an opportunity, loses a job. I'm for it. I don't care if they don't go to college. I don't care if they lose their jobs. I don't care if they lose their homes, because their attitudes are reflective. It's the consequence for the action. So if you're going to spend your time as a white person on social media talking about you don't understand Black Lives Matter and niggas ain't shit and all they do is steal and kill and rob and they get what they deserve, and as in return your employer says you no longer work here, in return your university says your scholarship has been rescinded, your acceptance has been rescinded, so be it. It's time for them to receive consequences for their callous actions, for their callous words that not only hurt us, kill us. And don't even get me started on the bitch in the park. White women constantly weaponizing their whiteness to hurt us and kill us. She knew calling the police to insinuate that she was in danger, under attack, under threat of a black man, could have ended that man's life. And she did it anyway. And then when there's a consequence, she says, oh, I had no idea that my calling the police and lying could have hurt him. Is that not our history? Is that not the relationship between white women and black men? Them lying, them putting themselves in situations that don't serve them, and then using that situation as a way to hurt us so that they can be absolved? Is that not the history? How do you not know? How do you not understand? And the crazy thing about it is that white women feel like they have the ability to assert themselves in all situations. The roles could have very easily been reversed. Chris could have been at that park with his dog unleashed, and a white woman would have definitely said, you know you're supposed to have that dog leashed. You know it's against the law to not have that dog leashed. You know, I'm going to call the authorities because you don't have your dog leashed. You know, there's signs up here that state that you should have your dog leashed. White women do that shit all the time. I just watched a video where a white woman was in a gas station that she didn't fucking own, and she told the cashier that we're not serving somebody else because she had an altercation with them. The fuck you mean? Are you serious? So they do this shit all the time. But in the moment where I tell you you're wrong, in the moment where I tell you you're doing something that's not legal or that's not compliant, now you got an issue. Now you feel threatened. Now you feel unsafe. Fuck out of here. But this is what we have to deal with as black people in this country. This is what we have to deal with as black people in this world. So when black folks are telling you that this shit ain't fair, that this shit is rigged, that we're frustrated, that we're tired, and when we have tried every conceivable way to do that in a peaceful manner and you've ignored it, and now we got to fuck your shit up and for you in order for you to understand it, then so be it. Then so be it. This is where we are. When you're ready to come to the table and have a conversation about the systems that are in place that are oppressive and that keep us down despite every effort that we make to overcome them, we'll stop burning shit down. We'll stop tearing shit up. But until you're ready to have that conversation and accept the responsibility for the shit that you've done or the shit that you perpetuate, then we ain't got nothing to talk about. And for all the black people out there who don't understand this, you need to start reading fucking books too. You need to start studying too. You need to start to come to an understanding of why we feel the way that we feel. Don't be confused because you are one of them Clarence Thomas niggas that has risen to a certain station in life. And now, because of that, you disassociate with being like the rest of us, as if the same thing that's happening to me, regular Joe Schmo, can't happen to you, because it can. Like Dave Chappelle says, the fact that I'm Dave Chappelle should not be what prevents me from being stopped, harassed, and possibly killed. There's a bunch of motherfuckers driving that ain't Dave Chappelle, but look just like me. And so you're recognizing me as law enforcement should not be what stops you from hurting me. We got to wake up, people. We have to work together. We have to strategize. We have to be serious about moving forward. And in that, let's be clear, holding the black vote, and then I'm going to let you go for today, is ridiculous. Fuck Diddy and all those other fucking coons who are now believing that holding the black vote is responsible and also an option. For years, we've been made to believe that voting doesn't make a difference. And as a result, we don't vote. But they do. And when they vote, they get to put in office who they want to put in office, and nothing changes. Voting is the most important thing that you can do. It is the most important thing that you can do. I have grandparents who grew up in scenarios where when they were born, voting wasn't an option. I have aunts and uncles who were also challenged because of their age. Aunts and uncles who were born before any of the Civil Rights Acts were passed. Okay? Voting is essential. It is important. And because they've conditioned us that voting doesn't matter, and because they've put restraints on us in terms of legalities, because once you're a felon, you can't vote, it doesn't matter. We're the majority people. We're not a minority anymore. But if the majority of the majority can't vote or refuses to vote, we don't really have a voice, and we really don't have a say. Please vote. Don't hold your vote. I understand that former Vice President Biden may not be the ideal candidate for us. But we got a responsibility to get a crazy, deranged mofo out of the White House. And we can't do that holding the vote. It ain't gonna happen. And so we have to progress, and we have to move forward, and we have to get him out of the office. And then we also have to make sure that we're active and understand what's going on in our local government. Getting an absentee ballot this year was the best thing for me, because oftentimes I believe in voting and I go to the polls every time those motherfuckers are open, because it's important. And I honor my grandparents and their parents and their parents every time I go to those polls and exercise my right to vote. I will never not vote. But having an absentee ballot and having it in front of me gave me an opportunity to spend some time to actually research some of the people who were on the ballot, to kind of get a better understanding of what their platform was, what they stood behind, to kind of look at their records. It's an opportunity that I normally don't get, but it's something that I'm going to take the time to do in the future to make sure that I'm not just casting a vote, but I'm casting a vote with intention and power. Your vote matters. Doesn't matter if the person that you voted for didn't win. Your vote matters. So please vote. I love y'all. Thank you for indulging me. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for riding with me. I'm going to try to get back into a system of regularity and be here with you every Tuesday because I miss you when I'm away. I hope that this empowers you. I hope that this challenges you if you're one of those people who may not agree with some of the things that I've said. And I hope that it inspires conversation amongst you and your friends and your family, both black and white, and other. Because there's a few other motherfuckers who are confused about whether or not they're persons of color or white, and they're more than likely persons of color. And so we need to have these conversations, and we need to start talking about these things. We need to get ahead of the curve. We need to find ways to support each other, each other's businesses, each other's ideas, find ways to become independent of the larger society. I've been teeter-tottering for years on whether or not to put money into a black bank. And even though it's not conveniently located for me, it's definitely something I'm going to think about when I become a homeowner. Definitely something I'm going to think about. I'm just not going to make any major financial shifts right now while I'm in the process of trying to become a homeowner. But in the future, it's definitely something I'm going to look at. Finding ways to pour more of my earned income back in the community that serves me and looks like me. So I urge you guys to do the same thing. There's so many things floating out there on social media about black businesses to support, whether it's eateries or whether it's clothing, you know, that you don't have to wear and support these brands and go to these particular restaurant chains. So let's start to be cognizant of those things and make these moves in the right direction so we can support each other. Guys, have a wonderful Tuesday. If you're in Georgia, please vote today. Have a wonderful week. Continue to be encouraged. Continue to pray. Continue to support one another. But continue to be vigilant. Continue to educate yourself. And continue to speak truth to power in terms of the world that we live in, and trying to make it a better and more livable place for our children and our children's children. Because that's the goal. Making it, it might not be great for us, but making it better for those that come behind us because they'll need it. Like, share, post, repost, rate. I need all of those things across whatever platform you use, whether it is Anchor or Google or Apple or Spotify. And we will meet back up next week. Love y'all. Peace.